Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 20 this morning. And we'll be thinking about what is that meaning of Christmas. And I know it's well known to all of us, and yet it's a truth that never grows old, and it's a truth that's important to stop and remember in the crazy holiday season where it's all about shopping and decorating and family coming over and cleaning the house, which I think is my assignment for this afternoon. But in the midst of the crazy holidays, there's an important celebration and we can miss it. It can be lost in the busyness. It can be lost in the craze. And before we know it, we've missed the true celebration. And it's one of the most important things in all of history. This event of when God became a man, when he walked the earth and what he did on the earth. And we'll be meditating on that together this morning. That true meaning of Christmas. And I just want you to stop and think. Your schedule for this next week. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, I've got family coming, the house isn't clean yet, I still have to finish shopping. And just slow it down in your mind a bit and think back to over 2,000 years ago and that quiet Christmas Eve, the star in the sky. And just think about that event that happened. It really did. It's a historical event. The things we look at, the things we talk about, really did happen in history. A baby was born. A baby who had not been conceived by man, but had been conceived by the Holy Spirit. How somehow, if I can wrap my mind around this, this baby was fully a human. And yet, that was God himself. 100% man, 100% God. And he was here with a great purpose. And I liked Bob's story. Thinking about, well, shouldn't there have been this great big celebration? Shouldn't he have been born in a palace? Shouldn't he be like raised up and everybody, the whole world should have gathered round? But he was born quietly and a lowly birth away from his parents' home. Nowhere to stay, tucked away and put in a manger. The first people who heard about it, the shepherds in the field. We sang that this morning. The first Noel, the angels did say, was the certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. The good news, and I embarrassed myself about this last year, and hopefully nobody remembers that, but Noel actually is, I think it's a French word, and it means the shouts of joy, basically. The first shouts of joy, the first proclamation of that good news was not to the kings, not to all the most important people in the world. It was given to some random shepherds. Like, who really cares about them? And yet, God, of course, cares about all people. Ordinary people. Like you and me. And God knew that this good news was for all people. And it came first to shepherds. And it's not the birth we would have expected. And yet, this moment in history would change the world and will change our lives. As we look in Luke chapter 2 and think about this story, these shepherds were out in the fields watching over their flock. And the angel comes and there's the glory of the Lord shining around. And I can't put myself there. I'm thinking, I'd be like, whoa, cool. And yet they were scared to death. Like, what in the world is going on? And I can't imagine. You're just out there. It's dark. It's another normal night. And there's an angel in the sky, and it's brighter than if it had been daytime. And what is this glory that's going on? And should we run for our lives, or what's going on here? And the angel says to the shepherds, had said to Mary, they've been told throughout the Christmas stories, do not be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. And we can apply this to a lot of things, just in the midst of the Christmas season. Don't worry about everything. It's God's got everything under control, and the most important thing has already been finished. And here he says, don't be afraid, for I'm bringing you good tidings, good news of great joy. And it's for just for the important people in the world. No, it's for all people. It's going to be good news for everybody, great joy for everybody. And the good tidings, which we're used to saying, that's actually just the word in the Greek that we say gospel. It's I'm bringing you the gospel. I'm bringing you that good news. I'm bringing you some amazing information. Good news, the gospel. The gospel isn't just, oh, the story of Jesus' life. The gospel is Jesus himself when he came and what he did and what he's going to do for us. And it's good news over and over and over again. So don't be afraid. I've got the best news ever. It's going to be joy for everyone. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we see three things about this baby already. He's the Savior. He's the Christ, and he's the Lord. He's the Savior, he's the Christ, and he's the Lord. This little tiny baby is the rescuer, the deliverer of the people Israel and of the whole world, to everybody. He's the Messiah, the Christ. Christ just means Messiah. It's that long awaited for hope. They've been ever since the beginning of the world, when Adam and Eve first entered into their sin and found themselves trying to hide themselves in shame and guilt. And God promised a Savior. The first gospel was given in Genesis 3. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for thousands of years for this Messiah to come and deliver them. And we've gotten little bits and pieces as God unfolds his plan throughout the Old Testament of what that would be. But I don't know that they'd really gotten it put together yet. They really realized that it was coming out of Bethlehem, that they really realized that it would be from a virgin. Knew all the details of what kind of life he would live. Understood that the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, that man who was despised and rejected, was actually God himself, the Messiah, the deliverer, the promised one they've been waiting for years. And here he was in the form of a baby. And he was also Lord, their master. Lord of all. King of kings and Lord of lords, as we saw last week. And then there'll be a sign. We'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I just think the shepherds have got the glory, the little bit of glory that shines on this evening. And by the way, this Christ, this Savior, this Lord, this little baby is going to be lying in a manger. So they're just trying to wrap their minds around this. And then thousands more angels show up and they're saying together, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. And they're just celebrating and praising God. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we see response. And the question I want to ask today, I want you to think about this season, is what should we do? I guess we'll get to it. I'll just point out real quick. Jesus came to reveal God to man, to represent man to God, to reign. He's our prophet, our priest, our king, and especially our Savior. He came to rescue man. And what a special thing that is, we'll see today. So the question is, what should we do? What should we do with the good news about Jesus? What should we do with it? How did they respond? How should we respond? Does it matter? Or is it just another Christmas? Buy the presents, wrap them up, decorate the house, have family over, have some little battles between family, send them home, be glad we don't have to see them for a few more months. That's the celebration together. This is time to be together, to enjoy together, as we saw last week, to have that unity as a church, as a family, around the great things of who Jesus is. And we need to respond to the good news about Jesus. And so we're going to look at some of the responses in our story today and see how do we respond to the good news about Jesus. What should we do with it this Christmas season, all the next year, all the time? What should we do with the good news about Jesus? The first is this. Reflect on it continuously. Reflect on it continuously. I'm going to jump down to the end of the story. end of the passage here. Verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Some translations say, treasured them within herself and pondered them. It's the idea that to keep with herself, to think about together, to hold together, or actually to keep together and to throw together. But it's all mixed up in her mind. She's thinking about it. This is the mother of Jesus, and yet there's something about this baby that it's not her own. She's been entrusted with this child's life, and yet just to comprehend. Like, I can tell you for sure, none of my children are God, and none of them are sinless. And but I'm already amazed enough at the gift that God's given me. But to be entrusted with their lives versus being entrusted with the life of the Savior, God Himself, the Messiah. And I don't even understand this. Like, why me? And how could this have happened? Being a virgin, I've never been with a man. And how could that? And God's using me, and just trying to think through all these things. And she treasured themselves within her. She thought about it in her, and she continued to think about it. She, as it says here, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And we should be thinking about these things all the time. Thinking about them all the time. Maybe we get tired of the Christmas story, and yet Christmas is just one part of it, the birth of the Savior. And it's hard to just talk about His birth without talking about the rest of His life, talking about what He came to do and the tragic ending, which obviously wasn't the ending. But these are things we keep thinking about. We have to keep treasuring them within us, keep pondering them. It's something to consider this Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. Just stop and think about that. We love explaining these things to our kids, and we kind of, in our little children's Bible we go through at night, we've actually just transitioned into the New Testament, so it was perfect timing. We kind of hit on the Christmas story a few times and float it down to help them meditate on it during the season. And they're just starting to kind of, I mean, they get it, but there's so much they don't get, and it's so fun to just talk about it with them, and it helps us to really think about it, and it's like, whoa, you know? Sometimes the children's Bible just puts it a little bit different way, and you just think, whoa. And to think about, well, this is God, and this is what He came to do. And, I mean, that it first went to shepherds, and God does care about ordinary people. And this good news is for my kids who really need it because they never obey. And not me, because I'm not stubborn and selfish and got a lot of sinful issues. I got, oh, yeah. That's for me too, and it's just fun to realize, hey, that's all about me, and God did all these things for me. To think through these things and realize, you know, God is really good, and it's so amazing that He never gave up on me. He never gives up on my kids, and just to think about it. We have to pour these things over and over in our minds to reflect on it, to examine ourselves. And we'll get to thinking about that more. But how does that connect, this event that happened thousands of years ago, with my own life today? I mean, it's a completely different culture, completely different setting. Sometimes I can't even comprehend the way they did things. And I mean, they didn't even have internet back then, so what was life like? But to reflect on these things continually, to put myself in that setting, and to realize that there was a baby born, and He grew up, and this child was God, and somehow, in His humanity, He felt the same emotions. He never sinned, but He felt same emotions, sadness. He struggled to learn things, and He grew up. because he surrendered his independent authority. He surrendered being with God in heaven, and now he'd taken human form. He'd become like us. And we can think about these things all the time. And it's always fun to hear stories from the perspective of one of the people there that day, or to think some of the songs that Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water, would one day heal a blind man, and when you kiss his face, you kiss the face of God. He's the great I Am. I mean, Mary needed delivered too. That was her Savior, because he was God. To reflect on it from different perspectives. And it's always nice to do that, and we get to slow down in this Christmas story and do that together. That's one of the things Mary did. She reflected on it continuously. She kept those things. She treasured them in her heart, and she pondered them continuously. What else should we do with the good news about Jesus? We should experience it for ourselves. Experience it for yourself. These shepherds, these poor shepherds, these kind of unimportant and insignificant shepherds who are just out there tending to the sheep. I'm kind of emphasizing that, not because I feel that way, but that would have been the culture, like, shepherds, no big deal. They're the first ones who heard that great news. And the angel came to them, and the angel told them about the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And the sign that they would know that it's him. And verse 15 says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said, well, that was a good message. And then they went home and they ate lunch and they took an afternoon nap. And then they came back next week to hear it again. Now, they heard great news, and then they did something about it. They said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They wanted to... Good news! Let's go find out about it. Let's go see this. God's made this known, and let's go see what's going on. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went and they found out that, we could talk about things all the time, but we have to experience it for ourselves. We could talk over and over about how good God is, but you have to experience that yourself. How do I know God's good unless I surrender myself to Him and trust Him with my life and let Him do with me good things? How do I know that God is who He says He is unless I experience it? Or should I just talk about it all the time? We could come here each week and talk about how important this good news is and that other people need to hear about it. And then come back next week and say it again. Or we could leave here with that burden for ourselves and experience the obedience of proclaiming that good news. Been burdened with this in my own children's lives. We enjoy, and I love to talk about my kids. Life kind of centers around them for the most part. And they make sure we know it because the noise never goes away. Until about an hour after bedtime when they finally fall asleep. But we love teaching them from the Bible, teaching them verses, learning Amazing Grace, even if they don't want to sing it at church in front of everybody. And one of the things that just kind of reminded me this week about, well, we can talk about it all the time, but really, it matters where it hits life. And so we can tell them about the good news. We can tell them about the good news. But it's not my favorite way to do it. But sometimes in the middle of the discipline is when they really need to hear that good news. And they need to remember, oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. I don't obey. And that is a huge problem. And it's broken my relationship with God. And I just want to get out of here. Stop doing that. But you have to sit down and, okay, think about this, think about these, and Daddy needs a Savior too. Mama needs a Savior too. We do sin, and we have to apologize to you guys too sometimes when we make mistakes. This is a big problem. You're not obeying. It's not respect to us. It's not respect to God. And unless we keep on that, like, knock it off, the end, unless we keep on it and actually walk them through each time, you know, this is what the gospel is. It's in the middle of your disobedience, remembering that God is good, or it's in the middle of your joys, remembering that that's because of God, and making sure we tell Him thank you before we eat, making sure we recognize all these things are from God, and everything is about God, and yes, we talk about God all the time, because that's the most important thing, and that's what shapes our lives. And it was kind of fun, the girl that Diane babysits asked one time, why do you keep talking about what the Bible says? Why do you follow that for everything? And Diane got to tell her, well, you know, that's what tells us truth, and that's what the authority is, and we will believe it, and so we want to follow it in everything we do. And just little opportunities God gives us. But the problem is where we just talk about it, but we don't connect it with life and the true down-to-earth experiences. I think, and this isn't to generalize, but I think sometimes that's where there's struggles with kids growing up and not being in church anymore, is because parents did a great job talking about it, but the children maybe missed where it connected with life. And we have to experience it for ourselves. And it's in the moments of life where the gospel brings the most truth. And that's not to say that we couldn't do everything perfect and our children couldn't stray anyways. So I'm not trying to blame parents, but we need to see that this in life, there's not this on one side and life on the other, this on Sundays and this the rest of the week. It's this all the time, and our lives intersect with this, and it defines who we are, defines what we do, and we live in light of what Jesus has done because we experience it for ourselves. I put myself out there. I've recognized my need for the Savior. I've depended on Him. I've sought Him out in His truth and learned who He is and learned to follow Him. And I'm seeing for myself that this good news, that it is really good because I really need it. And I'm really hopeless without it. We should experience that good news for ourselves. Next, never lose your amazement. Never lose your amazement. I'll jump back in at verse 17. Now when they had seen Him, when the shepherds had seen the baby, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Just, whoa! They marveled at it. And Mary was treasuring it within herself and just blown away by how could this be? And these things are amazing. My response is, as we said last week, awe and reverence, or just wonder and marvel, like, these things are amazing. And the problem is, I mean, probably every year we might read this passage and say, yeah, the Christmas story, I've heard that before. I know the baby, the Mary and Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, and that little nativity scene. And I know it all by now. I've heard that for so many years. What's the big deal? Can't you find something else to preach? Can't we find something else to talk about? Yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know. I know that. And we can write it off because I'm familiar with that. It's not that big of a deal. But if we think about it, if we're reflecting on it, if we've experienced it for ourselves, we have to know that it is that big of a deal. His mercies are new every morning. This doesn't grow old and stale and throw it out because it's got an expiration date. This is the good stuff, and this is forever. And if I get bored with this stuff, I'm missing something, because maybe I stopped to experience it by putting myself into it, by seeking it out, by thinking about it. But this is good stuff. I mean, this is a baby born. Maybe it's because we weren't there. We can't have witnessed, and we only know by what we've read and what we've heard. But a woman had a baby, and she was a virgin. That's pretty amazing. And that baby was somehow God. And that's really amazing. And that baby grew up, walked the earth, and just the way he lived his life was not one of glory and majesty. And that's amazing to think about. And we sang Amazing Grace this morning with our kids, and God's grace, I mean, that never grows old, because we need it all the time, like every moment of every day. If we lose our amazement, then we're missing out on the good news about Jesus. We have to keep pondering it, keep realizing how amazing God is, that the things he's done are marvelous, are wonderful. And that'll come as we do the work of realizing, experiencing ourselves, connecting with life, and seeing more and more how much I need this, how hopeless I am without it. Because we get inflated with our pride, our egos, our self. And when we start becoming our own God, then all that's really amazing is everything that I've done so far and what a good job I did when I did that and how important I am. And Jesus, he's old news. That was thousands of years ago, but we wouldn't necessarily come out and say that. I don't think any of us would be like, oh, no big deal. But sometimes I think the way we respond to it is Christmas, presents and shopping and lights and cleaning the house. But how amazing to celebrate together. I mean, this morning, our Sunday school time, that was great. Everybody's contribution, everybody's different things they brought together, and even getting to sing hymns of praise. And God is amazing, and what he's done is amazing. We should also proclaim it with praise. What should we do with the good news about Jesus? We should proclaim it with praise. The angel came and appeared, and then several more came, and there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, a whole bunch of angels together praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it was like a 3-second praise song, and they were out of there. I imagine we just got the summary of it, but just the praise that was poured out by the angels, and they haven't even experienced the salvation of the Lord. They're just kind of watching what God was doing. And yet this is amazing news. And they get to watch what God's doing, and they're giving praise. And verse 20, then the shepherds returned after all of this, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And they got to verse 17, when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Their response is proclaiming with praise, telling everybody about Jesus. What did the angels tell us? What is the message given us to God about this child? They didn't just go home. Well, that was cool. Good night. They went out and they told everybody, and they were praising God, and they were proclaiming it to everyone what had been told to them. Verse 10 tells us that, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, the gospel of great joy, which will be to all people. It's the good news. There's joy in it that we can praise and rejoice in, and we can take it to all people because it's for everybody. It's for everybody. And it's so easy to write it off, and the people around us, oh, they would never believe any of that stuff. They would never go for that God stuff, and what's the point of telling them? And yet, they didn't do that, and we can't shorthand what God would do, but we get to just tell everybody because it's for all people. It's not just for the people we think. It's for all people, and God works in hearts in amazing ways, and we get to be God's messengers telling everybody about that good news. Good news. And I'm looking forward to our outflow study that we'll start the year with. But it's the overflowing of the joy in our lives that would express to others that, hey, I've got something worth living for. I've got something that I'm excited about, and I can't help but it just flows out of me. Everything that I care about, everything that, I mean, how can I not share that good news? How can I keep it silent? How can I just go home and come back next week without thinking about it again, without jumping for joy over, without talking to people all around me about how good my Savior is. And can you believe this God entered the world as a baby and what he was doing, and that it ended with him on the cross? The God of the world didn't even like him, so they killed him. I never would have done that, but that probably would have been me. And we proclaim it with praise. I got a story worth jumping for joy about, and I've got a story worth telling others, because I can't stop thinking about it. I'm reflecting on it continuously. Because now that I've experienced for myself, I want more. I want to keep experiencing it. I want to keep knowing God's grace as I live by it moment by moment of every day. And it continuously amazes me because God is so good, and I see it over and over because I'm not, and God doesn't give up on me. And the things God did, he's still doing in my life. And I can't stop praising and telling others. The conclusion is this. Let the good news about Jesus change your life forever. What should we do with the good news about Jesus? Let the good news about Jesus change your life forever. We do that by reflecting on it continuously, by experiencing it for ourselves, by never losing our amazement over it, by proclaiming it with praise to others around us. And in doing so, we'll see that it does, and it can, and it will change our lives forever. It's totally worth living for. And that event in history didn't just happen and it was over. It happened, and now all of life has changed. And I've got good news, a great joy that is for all people, and it's been entrusted to me. And I'm enjoying it myself, and I want to tell others. Let's pray. Father, this Christmas, as we think about your Son, as we realize the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of prophecies fulfilled, that it would be in Bethlehem, even though he was the Nazarene, Lord, that his parents traveled because of his senses and ended up giving birth in a stable one night in Bethlehem, and the bread of the world was born in the house of bread, and Lord, you provided our greatest need, the need that had been promised from long ago, and he was born according to all these promises, and Lord, you demonstrated your power through the virgin birth. You demonstrated your power as you allowed him to be resurrected from the dead, and you demonstrated your power as you give us spiritual life, as we experience by faith the life that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for each one here today who will leave today, go home to a busy week of work and preparing for family and going about the busyness of life, Lord, the mundane details of everyday life, and maybe have shopping to finish and everything else, Lord, that they would, in the midst of this week, never lose wonder, that they would be pondering this great news. Lord, help me as I go about my week. Help each of us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our pains, in the midst of the fun and joy we'll share, Lord, that we would not lose sight of what this is all about. It's about a Savior. It's about our Savior. Lord, give us a chance to speak your good news to others around us this week, to our friends and family, and to anyone we might encounter. Give us the courage to do so, Lord, and give us the gladness of heart that would burst it forth from us, Lord, that we couldn't contain it within ourselves. And we are so thankful that you have changed our lives forever as we trust in this good news and continue to think about it, Lord. Let it connect with life. Let it connect with each detail and help me to meditate on what does this mean? How does this matter for me? It does matter. It matters right now as I consider what to do next, as I struggle with temptation, as I, Lord, as I become discouraged, as I, Lord, in each circumstance, with each feeling and each experience, Lord, it's all about you. And I thank you so much for this amazing truth. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we close with, O come all ye faithful.